for prayer, and we'll begin. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to examine the Humanist Manifesto, to try to determine what the secular humanist is saying. We pray that we'll be confronted with this material in such a way that we'll be alert and be able to answer and give an answer for the hope that's in us, in Christ's name. Amen. I want to talk about the humanist and the state, the concept that the Humanist Manifesto presents about the state. The purpose of this series is to try to look at the major source document of secular humanism to determine what the humanist is saying today. If you have a document, I want you to turn to page 5, the section on world community, which is point number 12. This world community runs from points 12 through 17, the concept of what the secular humanist is advocating relative to human government. If you do not have a manifesto, maybe Dave Berg, maybe you could get some manifestos out there. They're on top of my one of my file cabinets, the nearest one, and if anyone wants one, why, hold up your hand when he comes back. Okay, we're reading from number 12. This is the expression of the humanist. We deplore the division of humankind on nationalistic grounds. So we could say, first of all, number one, they are anti-nationalist. Now, what that means that you can expect from the secular humanist a downgrading of patriotism. In other words, anybody need one of these humanist manifestos? Okay, there's one over here. If you have one at home, would you return this before you leave? Leave it in the back somewhere out on the shelf so that we can use it again. You can expect a barrage of anti-patriotic type literature coming from the secular humanists. Line 2 or sentence 2, we have reached a turning point in human history where the best option is to transcend the limits of national sovereignty and to move toward the building of a world community in which all sectors of the human family can participate. Now that is a dictatorial statement, like a dogmatic, it's not like, it is a dogmatic statement. How could you become stronger than that? In other words, whoever signed this document, they have come to the conclusion, and they want to promote the conclusion, that the best option that we have today is to transcend the limits of national sovereignty and create a one world type of a government. So they are one worlders in government. They are going to seek to promote that. And from their point of view, they are telling you, if you think different, you're wrong, because they say this is the best thing to do. Well, now, how are they going to bring about, then, one world government? The next sentence. Thus, we look to the development of a system of world law and world order based upon transnational federal government. In other words, federal governments will have to give up part of their sovereignty to an international law tribunal. So, via international law, and the only way that you can have authoritarian international law is for nation states give up sovereignty. Okay, now where does the sovereignty lie in the United States? Where does the authority lie in the United States, theoretically? The people. Okay, theoretically it's the people. But we have a republican form of democracy, which means that we do what? We elect and we invest in the elected representatives the authority to make laws, and we agree to live under those laws, unless you're a controller, FAA controller. Then you don't live under the law, you say, I'm above that. Unless your personal interests run against the law. Well, I'm being facetious, of course. we have an elected representative body, which is called Republican democracy, and we invest in that body the right to make laws, and we're supposed to live under those laws. Now, under international law, if the international tribunal decided that that we had too much wheat in the United States, after all, you got all that production of wheat, we're going to take the wheat from you and we're going to give it to the little country of Chad in Africa. Well, then the farmer in the United States is going to say, who's going to pay for it? Well, we can't pay for it because the third world nations are so poor, and we have the authority, and we take from you to give to them. So what you lose under international law is any type of sovereignty you have and a loss of individual freedom and the right to make choices. But this is the direction that goes. And what they are saying is this is the way that we should go. Okay? Now, will you notice that they do not state the means? They simply have this this ideology. This is, folks, this has been going on for a long, long, long time, ever since Nimrod. All the ancient civilizations had some ideology of a one-world state. It is something that God destroyed at Babylon, and it is something then that man has tried to reinstitute ever since the Tower of Babel. And we've got two Towers of Babel in New York City right now, you know, the Untied Nations, the United Nations. That's not new even. One of our good presidents, I think he was a good president anyhow, tried to institute the League of Nations. And he actually died because, one of the reasons he died was because his lifelong dream was voted down by Congress in 1919. And the League was started, but the United States wasn't in it. It failed, of course. And every one of these will fail. But in the end times, there is going to be an enormous movement toward international law and a one-world government, because that is going to be necessary to for the Antichrist to function. Okay? Okay. Now, this international law will be designed to socialize everybody. Okay? Will you look at the next page, at the bottom left-hand corner of the next page? And this is their closing statement as on humanity as a whole. And they are appealing for world community about 9 lines down over to the right on the bottom. In closing, it says, "We urge recognition of the common humanity of all people." And what they are saying, this is their humanitarian type appeal. "We further urge the use of reason and compassion to produce the kind of world we want." And what we say as Christians is that reason has been distorted by the sin nature. And morality is a very, very vital, vital issue in relative to reason. And these people ignore any type of divine instituted morality. So we say, hey, it's impossible. They want a world in which peace, prosperity, freedom, and happiness are widely shared. I wrote in the column, who doesn't want a world like that? But can it be done on the basis of reason and compassion? The answer is no. Let's keep reading. Look down at the bottom. Here is their statement of how they're going to bring about this one world government. "Destructive ideological differences among communism, capitalism, socialism, conservatism, liberalism, and radicalism should be overcome." Well, that's great. I think that's just great. Now, where are we going to start? I suggest we start with getting Andrew Young to mediate between the Ku Klux Klan and the NAACP. Or maybe we could get Menachem Begin to address and lead the PLO. Maybe we can make the Pope the Bishop of Northern Ireland. document is full of these kind of statements. Who doesn't want a world that's, you know, you live in peace and prosperity? The Bible holds out that hope for the world. Peace, prosperity, blessing, international law flowing out from Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. The Bible holds out that hope. For every hope that the Bible has, for every promise, for every strategy that the Bible has, the devil has a counter strategy. And his counter strategy to what the Bible holds out as a hope is a government of man, by man, through man, for man. And that's precisely, you know, I have that written in the book of Revelation. The number of man, and his number is the number 666, the number of man. He is the man of sin. He is of man, through man. He promises for man, by man, a kingdom that is a counterfeit of Jesus Christ's kingdom. And you have precisely that image very, very clearly expressed in the Humanist Manifesto. The only thing you don't have is the details of how you're going to get it. Because if they put the details in of how they're going to get it, every American would turn off, well, the majority of Americans would turn off to it. Wouldn't turn on. How are you going to do that? Closing paragraph. The way you're going to accomplish this is to give up, by giving up what one believes. Okay? Do you really think that we can get Barry Goldwater and Ted Kennedy to agree? Do you really think you could? No, you can't. You know why you can't? They don't believe the same thing. One's a socialist, one's a conservative. One says, no, you've got to have individual liberty in order to survive in life, or you're going to be sorry. The other one says, no, we take a little bit here, take a little bit, and add over here, and so on, and we make everybody equal. And the way you make everybody equal under socialism is you cut them all to the same size. And the way you get them all the same size is you cut their head off so they can't think. Make everybody equal. That's the way we're going to do it, see? Okay? Okay. Look at the next sentence, if you're still on page 6. Up at the top. Let us call for an end to terror and hatred. All right? I have a humanist magazine here. It's called Free Inquiry. It's for the summer of 1981. And this is strictly from a humanist point of view. And there's some ads in here. Here's an ad, and they're calling for the end of hatred in their document. Here's an ad for a cartoonist wanted to illustrate satire of Bible tract comics. Send photocopy of your work to this paper entitled Free Inquiry. So they're going to come out with a series of tracts to make fun of what the Bible teaches, what you believe. Here's another bumper sticker. To hell with the moral majority. $2.50 for three of them. Order your bumper stickers now. There's an article in here on moral education in a fundamentalist climate. At stake in the problem of moral education is the integrity of schooling. Since schooling is the method of instructing the next generation, in a quite literal sense, the future itself is at stake. You are going to find that these people who talk about they want to not have hate and so on, you're going to find more hate and vindictiveness directed at you than you can imagine. Here's a letter from George McGovern. George McGovern lost his job because he came under, his voting record was exposed. And the climate of opinion began to change in the United States in the last election. And he and Birch Baugh both lost their jobs, as well as two other senators. Birch Baugh has I don't know how he pronounces it, B-A-Y-H. There's an article in the Denver Post today. It has a picture of a of a of a a Bible-believing person with a snake coming out of his mouth, attacking the humanist. You just watch for what you're going to get. You're going to get engulfed with this stuff. In this letter, this is a four-page letter, and it's an appeal from McGovern to support the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. They need money now because that's going to be their arm to attack what we consider to be good moral law. Here's what he says. What do they want, these people that are advocating this? They want to restore prayer in the public schools. They want to prohibit federal programs to fund the treatment of venereal disease and abortion. They want to halt federal protection of the civil rights of those with perverse lifestyle, homosexuals. This is in his paper. They want to prevent state and federal authorities from impeding private schools, which means efforts to end tax subsidies of segregational academies would be stopped. They want to allow parents to review textbooks before their use in the public schools. Why, we can't let you parents review textbooks. You dummies. Well, you're all prejudiced. We're not prejudiced, but you are. You want to review a textbook that your child's going to use? We're not going to let you do that. You know what that means? That means that the control of the public schools is lost to the federal authorities. Where public schools in the United States were always controlled locally, and they still are in many rural areas. You go down to Creed and see who runs the school in Creed. They still are in many areas, but they're not in most places. They are absolutely controlled from a federal bureaucracy. And if they buck the federal bureaucracy, they lose their money. Okay. He's knocking what we believe to be moral issues that have to be faced legislatively. Now, folks, we know that you can't legislate morality, right? We know that. But in a sense, all legislation has some moral involvement to it because government has moral responsibility. That's not hard to figure out. So the issue really is not can we legislate morality, but which morality do we legislate? That's the issue. You can expect under this system a legislation of morality because all legislation in some way will relate to moral issues, that is, what is right and what is wrong. This will be legislation, this is what you can look for, to manipulate morality from the humanist perspective. Okay. Fourth, let's go back now to page 5. We are reading what they have to say about the state. Down at number 13, at the bottom of page 5 on the left. The world community must renounce the resort to violence and force as a method of solving international disputes. We believe in the peaceful adjudication of differences by international courts. If I have trouble reading, my dog that eats vegetables ate my clear glasses. So these are photo grays, and they're made so that you don't see a double golf ball. It's the only way I can win. I have enough handicap as it is if I see two golf balls with that line. These are a very small bifocal down here in the bottom, and for some reason I have to wear bifocals. I don't know. Well, I really don't. I'll show you. Watch. We believe in the peaceful adjudication of differences by international courts and by the development of the arts of negotiation and compromise. War is obsolete. Well, that's a very nice statement. let's tell the Russians that. Point four, this is under number 13, they believe that war is obsolete. Therefore, end war. Anybody that loves war has to be sick. I mean, really has to be sick. But as long as there are, you know, you have local crooks, so you have a local police force. There is such a thing as an international crook. Now, there really is. You can watch for the international crooks to really get busy over around Saudi Arabia because they want what Saudi Arabia has. As long as you have international crooks, you have to have an international or a national-type police force to take care of the international crooks. Get rid of the international crooks, and we don't need any war, any armies anymore. Can you imagine what it'd be like without having a police force, local police force? We're not doing too good with a local police force. What would it be if you didn't have one? All it takes for the veneer of humanity to be stripped is the opportunity. In New York, they had a blackout or a brownout. Or I don't know why they call it a brownout, a blackout. There it was. Power went up. One Pontiac dealer lost 60 brand new cars off his lot in the brownout. In England, this country that is so dignified and so civilized, lost its civilization for 13 to 14 days, 2 weeks ago. I mean, there were riots everywhere. They just stole everything they laid their hands on. Why? Because of the veneer of civilization. It's very, very thin. And whatever it takes to wear it off, sometimes it's a little alcohol, sometimes it's just the opportunity. And man expresses his lust patterns very, very vividly. Will you look at number 15? And this is under world community, the 15th point. Problems of economic growth and development can no longer be resolved by one nation alone. They are worldwide in scope. It is the moral obligation of the developed nations to provide through the international authority that safeguards human rights, massive technical, there you are, the international authority will protect human rights. Now, how will they define human rights? They will define human rights from a total socialistic perspective. So massive agricultural, medical, and economic assistance, including both control techniques, to the developing portions of the globe. World poverty must cease. Who can argue with that? That's like trying to fight motherhood or evangelism or something like that. Hence, extreme proportions of wealth, income, economic growth should be reduced on a worldwide basis. Who is going to define what is extreme? You own a house? Guy across the street doesn't own his house, you're rich compared to him. Maybe you don't feel rich, but you're rich compared to him. Who is going to define what is extreme? What they're talking about, of course, is economic socialization. So in part and parcel of their concept of the state, of the world community, point 15, you have a redistribution of wealth. A redistribution of wealth to solve social problems. Now, if you see, when you're an environmentalist or a behaviorist, like Dr. Skinner, who was one of the signers of the Humanist Manifesto, and sort of the father of the behavior school of psychology, man is just a piece of meat. He's just something that's going to be here temporally. And everything that he learns from the environment that he's in. There is nothing innate in him. There's no direction toward God since forget about God. So if we can make a perfect environment, then we'll have a perfect man. This is sort of the presupposition of this idea. Now, if you read the document closely, there is no direct statement about how they're going to do this. In other words, they don't say, free enterprise is an outmoded system. We must replace free enterprise. They don't do that. If they did that, it would be too pointed. They come at you with these utopian, romantic, fanciful, phantasmagorist, nice word. That's a real word. Fantasia. It was an old Greek word that meant a sleight of hand. It was a word for a magician. And they come at us with these phantasmagorist, idealistic type statements that are so lofty and sound so good, but very subtle in their implications. Okay? Okay. What they are asking for is socialization. And as I said, the way you accomplish that is, well, they say they're going to educate. That's point six. Look at number 17 on the next page. We must expand communication and transportation across frontiers. Travel restrictions must cease. The world must be open to diverse political, ideological, and moral viewpoints and evolve a worldwide system of television and radio for information and education. We thus call for full international cooperation, climate, science, arts, technology, plus ideological barriers. We must learn to live together, blah, 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 repairs together. Now, the main point of that is not education. But involved in that is the issue of education. And you will note that they say they want to use the use of the media to educate. The use of the media to educate. I call it brainwash. Okay? I'm getting sick of this document, and this subject is about to bug me to death, but because it really is so utopian. But you know, this thing is coming at you from so many different angles. There, you can hardly open a paper that there isn't an article every day on this subject in the paper. I don't know, maybe you don't read the paper. I'm beginning to wonder if I should. I read two or three a day, and I wonder how much time I'm wasting. I really don't know. I don't know how we can keep up with what's happening if we don't stay in touch, but in this article, in this book, I thought this statement that I read before is very, very pertinent to how the humanist is going to try to achieve his objective, and he's almost achieved it. At stake is the problem of moral education. Or at stake in the problem of moral education is the integrity of schooling. Since schooling is the method of instructing the next generation, in a quite literal sense, the future itself is at stake. If you can train a generation to think in terms of humanistic ideals, then you have begun the ball rolling to train another one. And if you can control the educational media, okay, so what are you doing in education? You educate to the moral view, whatever that is, and it's very loose, of humanism. In other words, you divorce the child from the values of the parent. Now, who else has that? Who else uses that as a... What other ideology? Communism. That's a basic tenet of communism. If you live in a communistic state, churches are outlawed. Or they're permitted to function, but you are not allowed to teach your child your religious values. You are absolutely forbidden to teach your child that. Why? Because the state is going to teach your child what is right and what is wrong. I think that there's a good comparison between communism. This document purposefully mentions communism when it mentions conservatism. You'll find it a number of times in the document. You always have them together. The reason that they have them together is they don't want the document to appear too socialistic. That would be a little too hard for the American mentality to accept. But there was a beautiful comparison between these two, and I would like to give it to you. The Communist Manifesto and the Humanist Manifesto can be compared. They are not twins, but they're sure compatible bedfellows, and their aims are very similar. First of all, both deny the supernatural. In other words, they are totally materialistic. And you are a piece of meat, but you can think. And so, if you have any sense at all, since you're just a piece of meat and you began at point A and you're going to die at point Z, then in between A and Z, let's have all the fun and all the goodies that you can. And the way to do that is to take from the rich, give to the poor, balance it all out, blah, blah, blah. And you are a piece of meat, but you can think. And so, if you have any sense at all, since you're just a piece of meat and you began at point A and you're going to die at point Z, then in between A and Z, let's have all the fun and all the goodies that you can. And the way to do that is to take from the rich, give to the poor, balance it all out, blah, 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 and the thing will go on. Second thing they both deny divine revelation. They do not believe that God revealed himself either in the Bible or in the person of Jesus Christ. Secondly, both promote one world government. Fourthly, both seek to control all education. Now underline the word all, because education is much more than going to school. All the media, schools, TV, the press, and so on. Now, I don't know how much the media is controlled by some type of a organization. I have doubts that that's the case. But if you can control the think, if you can get the think in the pattern, then you've succeeded in what you want to do. And so there'll be massive, massive propaganda efforts. Norman Lear and his ilk will come at the American public with masses of propaganda, shows that they're teaching you something. Boy, I wish you people, I hope you people, I would think that you do, that when you watch a television show, that you hear what they're trying to tell you. I mean hear what they're trying to tell you, not just the words. You young people, try to think through the point that they're trying to come at you with. Practically every time on television when they present drinking or alcohol, It's in a fun context, so to speak. They never show drunkenness unless they have a documentary, and those are very rare, and the effects of alcohol on the human body. Interestingly enough, somebody did a survey on marriage and the depiction on television. And the depiction was always negative. There was always something better elsewhere. They're coming at you. They're trying to educate you, you see, with their point of view of relative morality. Okay? The fifth point where these compare. The Communist Manifesto. Read them both and see. They seek to destroy. Both seek to destroy all religions except their own. Okay? Next point where they can be compared, both claim to be humanitarian. Now, for Russian communism to be humanitarian, they had to kill the figures differ, but, you know, what if you take the minimal figure? What do you say they had to kill 3 million Ukrainians? Somebody say they killed more than three. They killed, if you talk to a Ukrainian, he'd say they killed 17 million. Well, let's take a minimal figure. Let's say they only killed 1 million. But that was a humanitarian gesture, because that's the way you start the ball rolling. You've got to get the people succumb to the government and come under the authority so we can tell them what is right. So the end justifies the means under that system, yet it poses as a humanitarian regime. Anywhere it's gone, it's done that. Okay? So really, actually, both are totalitarian. Both are really totalitarian. Maybe in the area of ideas, eventually those ideas will find their expression in terms of some concrete thing. There's a man who's a believer, and he's a historian and a philosopher, and I think the college kids, not kids, but young people here, used one of his texts. I think they were working on apologetics or something. His name is Oz Guinness, and he said this, quote, "As secular humanism takes a more pessimistic outlook toward man's progress, humanists look more to the state to assume a guiding hand in shaping man's future." In other words, you look around and you say, boy, the evolutionary process isn't going fast enough. Let's get the state involved. Precisely what socialism and communism does. Oz says farther, "In recent years, the state has heeded the shaping..." In recent years, the state has heeded the humanist call and taken on a more humanist character. In the United States, there has been a conscious effort for 15 years to change the economic structure of the United States, a redistribution of the wealth via the federal government. And the only way that they can do that is by taxation. And when people get saturated a little bit with taxation, they have to stop, or there'll be a revolution like there was in 1776. So you use another means. You use the inflationary means. It was a conscious, planned effort. It was stealing from the American people without telling them you were stealing. It was not an accident. It was a planned redistribution of the wealth by the federal government of the United States, which was controlled by liberal, secular, humanist mentality. Now we have a president who says that was stealing. Faces the issue for what it was. And we had the most radical tax plan in the history of the world now going into effect. Oz Guinness was saying, "In recent years, the state has heeded the humanist call and taken on a more humanist character. In this respect, education is viewed by secular humanism as the fulfillment of the state's role as a saving institution. Because man is either not progressing as rapidly as the secular humanist would desire, or because man does not seem to be progressing in the evolutionary sense, many secular humanists have opted for forced progress and manipulative environmental control. Totalitarianism, therefore, could very well be the end result of secular humanism, and if it runs its course, if the Lord lets it run its course, that is precisely where it's going." Okay? Don't have time to look at the effort of this in the Bible. Maybe we'll get to next week. Can we answer any questions on what the secular humanist is saying about the state and how it fits into his perspective? Yes, questions? No, it's a question of whether I believe in the conspiracy theory. I don't believe that there is a conscious conspiracy that is normally depicted as the conspiracy theory. But in terms of the specific that I mentioned about redistribution of the wealth, that was a conscious effort by legislators. One of the proofs of that is that there was no plan for a reduction of taxes among those people until
the predominant party now in Congress began to introduce a plan. Then all of a sudden, they began to feel that the American public wanted this and they wanted to change it. I think we could prove that too, document that in other words. I don't believe that there is a conscious conspiracy that manipulates the whole world. But I believe there is a conspiracy. And the conspiracy operates in the world of ideas. So that if you can get an idea going over here in Russia, and you can get an idea going over here in America, then maybe you can get the two ideas together, and then it becomes predominant. And I think we can expect that to happen in view of what the Bible teaches about future times. Question?
Ron, the big conspiracy really is a complete ignorance of the American people. Things like this couldn't happen. People just don't realize that it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think.
If you're using the word conspiracy, there has to be somebody behind it to conspire.
Yes.
And I'm going to make a new idea. You take it out of the realm that there are a group of men who are drawing this body. You have to have somebody doing the conspiring, and in this situation, it's satanic.
Yeah. We know there's when I use the word there's a conspiracy. You know there's a satanic conspiracy against the kingdom of God. You know that by reading scripture. It's always existed. It always will exist. It will become more predominant in end times because you're moving toward the one world kingdom of the beast. So there's always the satanic conspiracy. The question is, how does it find its manifestation among men? Is there a group of people in Russia that are controlling the thought process of the whole world? No, I don't believe that. If that's But you have the Trilateral Commission. You have these groups of intellectuals that are brought together to make a one world power. And they are operating from a certain think. And most of their think is controlled by a humanist perspective. You see what I'm saying? Now you can expect then an awful lot of power and influence to be exerted by those people. And it is being done. And in the United States, we began to succumb to that. Looks like now we're turning back and saying, we don't want that. Looks like now we're waking up. Hope it's true. Okay, our time is up. You have 15 minutes for a cup of coffee, and I hope you'll be back. Does it feel warm in here to you? Would you folks, if I came in here in a pair of tennis shorts and a tank top, no good, huh? Even if I wore a necktie with it, no good. Okay, see you. The effort of this in the Bible. Maybe we'll get to next week. Can we answer any questions on what the secular humanist is saying about the state and how it fits in to his perspective? Yes, questions? No, it's a question of whether I believe in the conspiracy theory. I don't believe that there is a conscious conspiracy that is normally depicted as the conspiracy theory. But in terms of the specific that I mentioned about redistribution of the wealth, that was a conscious effort by legislators. And one of the proofs of that is that there was no plan for a reduction of taxes among those people until the predominant party now in Congress began to introduce a plan. Then all of a sudden, they began to feel that the American public wanted this and they wanted to change it. I think we could prove that too, document that in other words. I don't believe that there is a conscious conspiracy that manipulates the whole world. But I believe there is a conspiracy. And the conspiracy operates in the world of ideas. So that if you can get an idea going over here in Russia, and you can get an idea going over here in America, then maybe you can get the two ideas together, and then it becomes predominant. And I think we can expect that to happen in view of what the Bible teaches about future times. Question?
Ron, the big conspiracy really is the complete ignorance of American people. It seems like this couldn't happen. People just don't realize that we've been taken and manipulated.
Yeah, I think.
If you use the word conspiracy, there has to be somebody behind it to conspire.
Yes. Yeah. We know there's a, when I use the word, there's a conspiracy. You know there's a satanic conspiracy against the kingdom of God. You know that by reading Scripture. It's always existed. It always will exist. It will become more predominant in end times because you're moving toward the one world kingdom of the beast. So there's always the satanic conspiracy. The question is, how does it find its manifestation among men? Is there a group of people in Russia that are controlling the thought process of the whole world? No, I don't believe that. If that's, but you have the Trilateral Commission. You have these groups of intellectuals that are brought together to make a one world power, and they are operating from a certain think, and most of their think is controlled by a humanist perspective. You see what I'm saying? Now you can expect then an awful lot of power and influence to be exerted by those people. And it is being done. And in the United States, we began to succumb to that. Looks like now we're turning back and saying, we don't want that. Looks like now we're waking up. Hope it's true. Okay, our time is up. You have 15 minutes for a cup of coffee, and I hope you'll be back. Does it feel warm in here to you? Would you folks, if I came in here in a pair of tennis shorts and a tank top, no good, huh? Even if I wore a necktie with it, no good. Okay, see you.